Developmental Alternatives with Women for a New Era, OIDON, is a network of feminist scholars, researchers and activists from the economic south working for economic and gender justice and sustainable and democratic development. This recording is done by Dawn as a way of sharing its feminist critical analysis of the global environment through the voices of women from the south. Other recordings are available for download at www.dawnnet.org and may be used freely following proper citation. Dawn Podcasts, the voices of women creating a just world.
We also have global focal points, and I think actually all our global focal points are just about all of them are present today. But we're going to hear from Gita Sen of Dawn. Thanks, Charlotte, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak here. I want to just give you a flavor of the kinds of concerns and issues that Dawn has been raising in our own internal discussions, many of which get fed back into the year meetings in different ways, but I want to sort of highlight just two or three issues that we think are very important. The first one is simply this. We're all very happy at this point. But this is only like one tiny step that should have happened 30 years ago. The fact that it happened now, better late than never, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't be celebrating, but it also doesn't mean we can sit on our hands or rest on our laurels, whichever one we want to think of. And our concerns throughout have been in terms of ensuring what are we doing in order to make sure that we get off our butts and keep moving on. The first concern that we had, of course, which almost led us at one point to wish that perhaps it might be a good thing if the General Assembly didn't vote in UN Women for a couple more years, was the economic crisis. And the fact that money and funding would be a huge problem, as in fact it is turning out to be. And what does that mean? It means basically, are we going to get anything more than what was there in the aggregate of the four agencies before? And while it's true that sort of administratively smooshing them all in together will lead to some efficiencies in spending and use of funds and so on, it still doesn't mean that you get very much to do very much more than what you've already been doing. So this was one of our first concerns and issues. And I think that we still have to be pushing very, very hard on this one. Because the risk here is this, we now have the agency, entity. We now have the entity. So now that we have the entity, no one's going to look and see whether it's got enough money or not enough money if 3 years down the road it isn't able to get very far in terms of moving ahead of where it is. They simply say, okay, girls, we gave you what you wanted. Now what's your problem? You know, now go away and do your thing. And I think that this is a very serious issue that we have to think about. Be very clear about the connections between additional funding and what it is in fact that the entity can do. The second question, and I think my sister from Lebanon brought it up very clearly, that came up in their discussions, was, is there going to be a difference or is this going to be business as usual? Given that we are actually, this is an entity that is building on existing organizations, and as far as any work on women is concerned, by and large, the faith in countries is that of UNICEF, not any of the others, in any real way. So what's going to be different about what UN Women is going to do other than the name in relation to what UNIFEM used to do. And UNIFEM, bless its soul, did what it could in with whatever money it had. But we all know that there were, while we were very grateful that it was there, there were huge weaknesses in what it could do or achieve. And many of us know from the ground that quite often it was a question of, is UNIFEM supporting the women's groups, or are the women's groups supporting UNIFEM? You know, which way is this actually working? And quite often it would be the women's groups that were providing free or almost free labor to UNIFEM in a variety of ways. This is business as usual. This is not going to get us this way of functioning, this way of identifying issues, this way of so-called getting work done is not really going to lead to any major change. And we're looking, therefore, to see what are going to be the new methodologies, the new ways of doing things that are actually going to transform how, even if it is in a small way, UN Women functions differently. And I think we need to push for that, because at the moment, and I sit far away from New York, so I know, you know, I hear only echoes of the debates and discussions here, as many of us do. But I haven't heard any echoes that suggest new ways of doing things, really. Now we can say, okay, it's early days, and so on. But I think there is a danger if we keep thinking it's early days, and let's wait and see how they're going to do it. And that was another concern that we had in our dorm discussion, which is, we sat back, this was a few months ago when we had a meeting, and I said, look, what's going on here? In the entire history of the United Nations, this is the first entity, or whatever you might call it, that has actually primarily been created by a civil society movement. There's not one other. UNAIDS a little bit, but UNAIDS is such a strange animal that it's hard to see it in the same way. This is the one. It happened through the energy of women's organizations. It's happened through that mobilization. It would never have come to be without that. Now, we ask ourselves, if the boys had done this, where would they be at this moment? They would be right on top of the agency, telling it exactly what to do, telling it what we need to see from it, telling it how to do things, telling it you cannot do it in this way, telling it we are here, you know, and you're going nowhere without us. And I think that in some senses we've got to figure out how we're going to do that, because the early period, we've been very gentle up to this point, it seems to me. Fair enough, we don't have to be impolite. That's not the issue. The point is, when we hear the kinds of things, again, that both Mabel and you were talking about, in terms of how meetings, how people are being pulled together, what's happening with that, that's far from adequate. That's not enough. We need new ways of doing things, and unless we push for it, I'm afraid they won't do it. Because there is a real challenge here that we face, I think. And in as much as we're happy to have an entity, agency, whatever you call it, that purports to be for women all over the world, there's also the huge challenge of gatekeepers and co-optation. And the fact that democracy might in fact take over from what has been the product of the women's movement. You get a bunch of feminists or feminine bureaucrats who pretty soon are operating like every other bureaucrat in the UN system. And unless one can push for different ways of doing things, unless we can push for far greater openness in the way in which UN Women engages with all of us, I think that the risks and dangers of democracy, feminist feminine bureaucrats combined with gatekeeping functions that allocated to particular chosen organizations and NGOs. This is a huge danger. We need to break this open. There are methodologies in the US, particularly coming from the human rights side, that have done this very successfully and well. The UN, many member states don't like those. They don't like the Human Rights Council. They don't like the way in which independent experts operate. They don't like the fact that they go in with relatively little bureaucracy and then do, you know, get to people directly and start finding out what's going on and reporting back on that and calling governments and countries to account. They don't like that. But we need seriously to push for those things which are in fact here, because that's the existing, in a sense, you could call it the gold standard for how we might move forward to do it. Finally, I think it's really important, and this is really my last point. My women is there. It's very important we don't see our voices. It's there for us, but it is not us. It is what it is, which is a UN, United Nations entity. And we have to hold it to account as much as we hold anybody else to account. And it's got to be answerable to us. And we've got to figure out the mechanisms that are going to make it answerable to us. And frankly, I don't believe the presence of one person on the executive board, that is going to be pure tokenism. We may be willing, you know, I'm not against the token, but we're not even that bad. But again, if we were through some miracle to get that, we can't rest on that. That would be a pure token. We're not going to get very much with that. We need to have the processes which make it possible for whatever they call themselves, UN Women, UNIFEM X, or whatever else, to start, you know, engaging in an entirely different way with us. And I think it behooves all of us to really think about how it is we can do that. Thanks, Rob. Thank you.
For more information on the work of Dawn, do not hesitate to contact us. Our email address is info@dawnnet.org.